hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like.
X-Go, give it to you.
How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it?
X-Go, give it to you.
Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S.
Give up.
Order now at Acura.com.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the NS9 postgame show powered by Primanti Brothers. I'm Jim, and with me today is Ryan Alexander. Ryan, when was the last time we did a show together?
I thought about that before I come on. I'm not sure. Maybe when we, I honestly think it was like maybe when we had you on as a guest way back when.
Yeah, because I feel like you bamboozled me. You said, Jim, come and join North Shore 9. And then I joined, and then you were like, hey, guys, I'm retiring.
I found my replacement.
I'm going to go spend time with my family. You know, I'm going to go be a family man, Ryan, over here. So,
that's right.
Nah, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, thanks. It's weird to be back. But no, it's been a while. I think I've only been back for... I don't know. DiNardo said I did a post-game show last year. I don't remember. So I don't recall that. So he could just be making it up. But yeah, this is the first year for me, at least definitely for this year. But
yeah, I think that was it. So but no, welcome back. We're here to do a post-game show. Pirates, Red Sox. Pirates win 4-1. Edward Olivares, you know, puts them ahead late in the game. Three-run homer in the eighth inning, but the story that I think I want to talk about, I think you want to talk about, the story that I think everybody else wants to listen and talk about is Jared Jones. He gets the nod on the hill today. He was supposed to start last night in Sarasota against the Orioles. That game got rained out. So he gets to start today. His final case to, his final appearance of the spring, his last chance to make a case to make this rotation. And I was impressed. I was impressed, Ryan. Give me your thoughts on Jared Jones. He goes five innings today. He gives up one unearned run. The spring ERA stays at 0.00, four hits, four walks. So he did give up some base runners there, but five strikeouts, two double plays that he induced. What you like out of Jared Jones? What did you maybe not like out of Jared Jones? Is Jared Jones in your starting rotation?
Yes, he is. And we'll get into that as obviously that's kind of the story from today and from spring training. But yeah, I mean, he wasn't, like you said, he walked, I think he had one walk for the first four innings there. Wasn't a little sharp, got a couple of double play balls and got out of it and everything. But still had the strikeouts. Like you said, one run given up unearned, literally did not give up an earned run all spring. I mean, at this point, when you hear people talk about Jared Jones and should he be on the, should he make the team? Should he go north as one of the 26 right out of camp? It's almost like people are talking about like, well, he could stay down, like almost somebody that like only had a handful of starts at AAA or AA. This guy had like 16 starts last year at AAA. Like he's had a ton of experience at AA and AAA, enough to where you can warrant and say, okay, let's maybe we don't, he doesn't need that seasoning as much as like maybe a Paul Skeens or something does, but Jerry Jones has been there. He's done it. And honestly, I think he's forced the Pirates' hand at this point. The performance in spring training is just, it speaks for itself. So at this point, I mean, are you really going to send him down and put Bailey Falter in this rotation? I mean, is that what you're going to do? Is that what the Pirates, because that's like the only other move here, right? And it's like, you can't,
pretty much,
you can't do it. And I know the Pirates have shown time over time again, they will do it. Like, they will absolutely do it because they just do not care. But I really think Jones has just really forced the hand. And I mean, today with the walks and stuff, that could have just been kind of, you know, his last appearance to, you know, in spring training. And he just, here, Jim loves Bailey Falter. I don't think anybody loves Bailey Falter.
No, I don't think so.
But yeah, I think today it was just, you know, his last appearance, he may have been a little trying to show, you know, everything he could. And that's where the walks came in, but he was still good. I mean, still got the strikeout, still was, you know, in command. And yeah, he should definitely be in that rotation.
Yeah, after today, 16 and a third innings on the spring, 6 appearances, 3 starts. Like I said, the 0 ERA. He gave up 3 unearned runs, you know, during the spring. And the unearned run today, you know, we'll get to it, but another Rowdy Tellez issue. It was an error on Cabrian Hayes, but Tellez should have avoided that error. But I mean, I'm with you 100%. When they came out and said 2 weeks ago that Jared Jones like has a realistic shot at this rotation, like he was really truly in a competition for this spot. If you look at what he's done, and 2 weeks ago you said that he was competing for it, you can't go ahead and say this guy's competing for a spot. He then shows he's heads and shoulders above everyone he's competing with, and then not give him that spot. Like, you can't do that. So when you go out and you make that statement, and he goes out and he shows this after making that statement, you don't have a choice. Like, the guy is clearly one of your top 5 options to start the opening day. So you got to give it to him. And today was a bumpy start, right? I mean, he went 5 innings. He got through it. It wasn't the toughest Red Sox lineup. Tristan Casas was in there, but Marcelo Meyer and then Roman Anthony. So they had 2 of their top prospects in there, and then really just regular. So you've got a pretty pedestrian Red Sox lineup. But he went out there, and again, no earned runs, 5 innings. The walks were a little concerning. He did walk the leadoff batter in the first. He walked the leadoff batter in the second. But I think what was important about both of those is he walked those guys. Then he immediately makes up for it with a double play ball. Yep. It was weak contact all around, especially early in the game. The strikeouts were there as well. So when he did get into trouble, he was able to get himself out of it by using that strikeout ability. His slider, cutter, whatever you want to call it, a gyro slider is kind of what I guess what Jared Jones is going with. Gyro slider, I think, is what he's calling it. But I think Baseball Savant kind of corrected it after today, and you know, he was mostly fastball slider today, but 8 whiffs on his slider, 50% whiff rate on that slider today. No one was hitting that ball at all. Max exit velo against that slider, 89.3. It's a really good pitch. And like I said, he was getting some whiffs on the fastballs, but not as much. That slider, though, it was unhittable today. Hitters were either just letting it go by, or they were swinging and missing.
Right. And that's the thing. Like you mentioned, him getting in trouble with the walks, with the strikeouts, like the Red Sox weren't doing much as far as getting balls in play. So like, it was pretty much him with the walks, just holding him back. And like I said, I don't know if that was something with yesterday's game being canceled and he just, you know, wasn't expecting to pitch today, or if it was just he was trying to be a little too perfect and, you know, because he knew this was his last appearance for spring to kind of show the Pirates, hey, idiots, I can do this, put me in the rotation. So yep. I don't have 2 concerns on that. But like you said, with them making that statement a couple weeks ago, like if they would, at this point with his performance, if they would not put him in the rotation and send him down to start the year, like what could they possibly say at this point as far as the reasoning behind it?
Right.
Like there's nothing to say. Like he he forced their hand, and hopefully they make, like, for one time in their life, just, you know, hopefully they make that right decision. Like, send the top 26 guys north, send, especially in the rotation where we need the most help they can possibly get. Like, he needs to be in that rotation. You're already not starting off with Skeens, which we've talked about that. You guys have talked about that. Like, that's understandable. But you got to let Jared Jones get in there. The guy's had experience at every level. He's done it, and he's just had an unbelievable spring. So, yeah, at this point, I don't know what the Pirates would even try to say to justify that move. But, yeah, he's got to be there.
Yeah, and I think this also, like, I can't, like, again, I'm with you. Like, I can't foresee a situation here where he doesn't make it. So let's kind of operate under the assumption that he's going to make it, right? And if he doesn't, you know, we riot. So, like, that's basically how it's going to go. But when was the last time a Pirates prospect, like, consensus top 100 guy, made the opening day roster with zero service time? Like, it wasn't a holdover. Like, he didn't make a spring, a September debut the previous season.
Yeah,
I don't think this has happened. I know it hasn't happened, and it happened in the Charrington era. I don't think it ever happened in the Huntington era. I don't think it happened in the Littlefield era. I think you got to go back to Jose Guillen, to be honest, to find a top prospect.
So you're talking like a top 100 prospect, not just, like, somebody that, like, yeah, we threw out there.
Yeah.
We're not, like, really concerned. Yeah.
So, like, this is sort of like
right.
This is sort of like a monumental moment in Pirates player development history. I really don't think it's happened this century. What, Guillen was 97. And I don't think we've seen it happen since.
Yeah, we'll have to look back and fact check that. But you're right. I mean, number one, there was a bit of years.
Cam Bonifay here in the comments.
he's in the comments. We also didn't have, you know, back in the day, we didn't even have too many top 100 prospects to really have that option. But
that's true. I don't know.
But you're right.
Is there a 1997 Baseball America top prospect list somewhere?
There's got to be somewhere. Yeah, look that list up. But
yeah,
you're right. It's kind of unprecedented, and, like, I mean, it was kind of unprecedented around baseball 20 years ago. But we've seen that slow progression in baseball, where now teams are calling guys up earlier and sooner, and, you know, so we're seeing a lot more of that now. The Pirates hopefully will finally catch on. But, like I said, it's almost because Jared Jones forced their hand. Like, if he had been, if he had looked good this spring, but, like, I don't know, had an ERA like in like a 3.8, like, would they make the call? Who knows? But, like, you said, we'll operate under the assumption that he's there, because Lord knows they need it. And Bailey Falter has looked so bad this year, at least in spring. So, like, you can't go there. So hopefully they do it. And if not, we'll definitely riot. But yeah, we'll have to confirm that, because that's a good stat by you.
So here we go. 1997 Baseball America top 100 prospect rankings. Jose Guillen was number 24. And he made the opening day roster that year. I don't think it's happened since then. Like, I cannot think of a time when it happened after that.
When did Pedro get? Was he midseason? See, like, that
Pedro was midseason. Deadline? Yeah, Pedro got called up midseason. Yeah. So, like, that's it. It's got to be Jose Guillen in 1990s. Like, Jared Jones is going to be the first Pirates top 100 prospect with zero service time to make the opening day roster since Jose Guillen.
Isn't that crazy? That's
27 years.
And that's if he makes it. We're not there
that's
yet.
If he makes, yeah, like, that's if he makes it. Like, that's incredible that it's gone that long.
It really is.
It's been that long. Like I said, and if someone in the comments can think of another person, you know, it's definitely not Anthony Alford. That's
yeah, because
sure.
Kutch got a lot of games that rookie year, but it was like in June or something. He came.
Kutch
up.
Was June. Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. I mean, Pirates are over here breaking. I don't know, breaking new highs, I guess, or lows.
Yeah. First time this century. There's people watching this that weren't alive the last time something like this happened.
Right.
That's
when
incredible.
You threw out Jose Guillen, like, to me, like, Jose Guillen is just an old baseball player. Like, and I'm old and I'm like, Jose Guillen. Oh my God. Like, I can't even imagine when he was like a rookie. It's crazy.
You know who was so, you know who Jose Guillen was sandwiched in between on that 97 prospect list? Who was, so he was 24th.
Okay.
He was sandwiched in between Pirates legend Matt Morris.
Oh, God.
And Hall of Famer Roy Halladay.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that one turned out real well.
Yeah.
Roy Halladay. That was good.
That's where we're at. So yeah, I'm with you. Like, Jared Jones is in this rotation. He looked great today. Didn't even have his best command. Like I said, the walks were there. The hits were mostly weak contact. There was one pretty hard hit ball off of him late in the game, but again, stranded him on second, and didn't let him score. So good outing for him. I can't foresee a situation where after what they told us, he doesn't make this team.
Right.
Along those same lines, so Jerry Jones, you know, great start. I want to talk about Henry Davis behind the plate, because, you know, he was kind of if you were watching the broadcast, he was a main character of today's game too. You know, Michael McHenry, friend of the show, a star of Fort Fridays. He was in the booth talking about Henry Davis quite a bit. But I think you can obviously see, you know, and they broke down. He's getting into a rhythm back there. He knows the pitchers. You know, they talked about his rapport with Jared Jones specifically. There was a time later in that outing where, you know, Jones walked a batter, Davis went out, said some words, came back. Jared Jones was able to bounce back. And when Hannah Mears, also another friend of the show, friends of the show all over the place, Hannah Mears interviewed Jared Jones after his outing, and Jones was like, yeah, he came to me, had some choice words, he knew the right things to say, and it got me, you know, got me in the right mindset. So I think it just goes back to, like, Henry Davis is ready to be this team's catcher. I think he's ready to kind of be the leader on this team. Yeah. And today you kind of saw why, and you saw a little bit more into just kind of what he puts into the game. Jared Jones mentioned, you know, Henry Davis had the scouting report ready to go. Jones was supposed to face the Orioles last night, right? So it switched up on him. So it was all new scouting reports, all new opponents to get ready for. And Jones was able to get that information from him. So I want to hear your thoughts just on kind of what you've seen from Henry Davis this spring, what you've seen out of him from a catcher position. You know, we were fed all last year that this guy's not a catcher. This guy's not a catcher. He can't catch. And there was a wild pitch today. You know, he threw a ball into the outfield, which didn't, you know, end up costing anything, but
also threw out a runner.
Right. I think overall though, like, Henry Davis has looked like a very competent major league catcher.
Yeah. So I did want to bring that up. I'm glad you went there. Cause this was, you know, shout out to MLB.com for the free game. This was like my first, like, actual, like, live game that I've seen in probably since last, like, I don't know, July when I was at a game. So yeah, shout out to MLB.com for the freebie. But one thing that, like, I noticed in this game, and like you talked about last year, when, I mean, the Pirates weren't even bothering putting Davis back there. It was almost comical when he would, like, go in there for an eighth inning defensive replacement late in the game. And that was, like, the only time he saw behind the plate. And it was like, what are we doing here? So, like, that, and even, like, you know, going to, like, O'Neill Cruz being a 6'7" shortstop, and, oh, that'll never work. What I saw today, like, watching this game, was Henry Davis looks like a major league catcher. Like, he looks like he's, like you said, it fits. It looks like he's like, into, you know, he's confident. He's into his own. He knows the pitchers. He's out there working with them. He's, you know, saying the right things. And I think that's his personality and being the leadership part of it that we've heard so much about, I think is going to be obviously going to help him a lot in that role. And it needs to be there. But, like, that's the first thing I noticed about watching him was just, yeah, he just was looking like the part. And that, like, compared to where we were last year in midseason, end of the year, like, that is a win. Like, that's a win for the Pirates. Like, the fact that O'Neill Cruz is apparently a shortstop is a win. Because, like, last year we were, like, everybody was saying, like, those were all question marks. And Davis was a huge question mark at catcher, whether he was even going to stick there. So I like what I'm seeing, too. And don't be Kentucky. Yeah, but I like what I see from Davis. And like I said, it was kind of the first full game that I got to see him behind the plate and everything. But threw out a runner, you know, the pass ball, like, he'll, you know, it was kind of a tough, didn't really give him the right hop and everything there. But I overall, I mean, I think he looked the part. And I think it, from where we were last year, it's a huge improvement and win. Like, it makes me question, again, the Pirates. Like, what were you doing last year? Why was he not behind the plate more on a season that was going nowhere?
Yeah. Right. You would have thought, like, after they traded Hedges, you know, like, let's get Henry Davis some reps. Maybe it had to do with he just wasn't working on it. I have no idea, but you could clearly tell he put in a lot of work this offseason, not only on himself, but to get his, you know, get to know his teammates better, get to know his pitchers better, get better rapport with them. And I think there was valid criticism when the Pirates drafted Henry Davis first overall. Like, you could definitely argue that he wasn't the top prospect on the board. I think, you know, you could make that case. Yeah. You know, the Pirates said that he was their number one choice, but, you know, they kept kind of pointing to that makeup, right? And you can tell the makeup's there. Like, he is hardworking. He is going to succeed no matter what it takes. You know, he's not someone who's just going to accept not being good, right? And the work he's put in this offseason, it's nice to kind of see it. It's nice to see it this spring training. Yeah. Now you got to see it carry into the regular season, right? But all that we can see, OPS over 1,000, like I said, behind the plate, more than holding his own. I'm excited to see what he can do over a regular season. And, you know, if he's able to prove all those people wrong and really end up being a solid major league catcher, then you've got a pretty valuable guy in Henry Davis.
Wouldn't it be something like, he ends up having a great major league career as a catcher for as many years as, you know, his knees and everything hold up.
Yeah.
And it all be, what if it all was because Andy Rodriguez went down?
I mean, that's a good point. Cause like, if Andy Rodriguez is still here, like, is
were
Henry
they gonna,
Davis...
yeah. Were they going to put him behind the plate this year very often?
I don't know.
That's what I mean. Like, they almost, that was like another thing that kind of forced their hand. They almost had no other choice but to, you know, sign somebody, which they did. They signed Grandal, which where's he at? He's like Lonnie Chisenhall 2.0. And, but it, there was no really other option besides Henry Davis, the guy you drafted at 1.1. So it'll just be really be something if he really takes this and runs with it and is good. And like you said, he doesn't need to be, you know, Johnny Bench back there. He just needs to be a major league catcher. And obviously we know the bat plays. Well, you know, we know the bat will be there. It's just the catching that needs to just not be a negative, basically.
Yeah, Ted brings up a good point here. I mean, if Henry Davis is your catcher, like maybe Andy, once he gets back and healthy, and as long as he can hit, maybe Andy's your choice. Maybe Andy's like your answer at first base going forward, right? Because right now there's no one else out there who can play first base. So if Andy can hit and Davis can catch, you know, you've got Andy playing first most days, and then Andy can back up Davis when Davis needs a day off. So I think there's a lot of there's a lot of flexibility here once Andy returns, but no, that's a good point. I mean, if Andy doesn't get hurt, like, what's Henry Davis doing right now? I don't know.
That's what I mean. It's really weird. And we might never know because it's a big what if, but yeah, it's just interesting to think about. But yeah, as of right now, like, that is a win. What I'm seeing from Henry Davis, same thing with Cruz playing short. Mm-hmm. And you talk about the makeup, you know, of Davis, it kind of both are, past two picks, like the makeup with Skeens and Davis. Like, it's just, those are like the two leaders, like guys that, like, you know, those guys want to win. And Lord knows, does the Pirates need that desperately? Like, just not somebody just going through the motions and, you know, with their career, but these guys want to win and they're leaders. And it's good to see. It's though, as of right now, like, not on, you know, actual like wins and losses on the standings, but those are wins for the Pirates.
Yeah. And you bring up just a kind of the will to win, right? And I'm not saying that like Mitch Keller or Brian Reynolds or Key Brian Hayes don't want to win. Like, that's not what we're saying. But at the same time, those guys don't know what it's like to win anymore because like they haven't done it in so long, right?
Definitely not in the majors, that's for sure.
So when you add those three guys, that core, and you bring in these guys who not only, you know, they're used to winning, right? I mean, Paul Skeens won at LSU, he won national titles. Henry Davis went to College World Series. Is like these guys are winners. They are addicted to winning. You add those guys with that type of mentality to a pretty solid group who they have the talent, but maybe they don't know how to win, right? Because they haven't done it in a while. Who knows? Who knows what could happen here? You know, I think this division's open for the taking. I don't think the Pirates are necessarily a favorite for it, but things seem to be going well for them right now. And I know you don't like getting too optimistic, but things seem to be going well, at least on the offensive side of the ball. I think there's still a ton of question marks in this pitching staff. And that's ultimately, you know, where things are going to, to be settled. But I don't know. It's spring. You got to get excited about the season coming up. And there's a lot of reasons to be excited about this team.
Look what happens, though. You guys got all excited. And then what happens? You know, Peguero gets sent down. Then we got, you know, Moretta. All these injuries start popping up on the bullpen. And it's like, oh, God. I'm not, like, superstitious. But at some point, it's like, can we just wait till, like, we're in first place and maybe good before we get, like, really excited? But, no, I mean, they're definitely trending in the right direction. It's just I wish the Pirates would make the right moves to, like, be serious about things.
Yep. Yep. I was looking to see if there was Alex Stumpf just reported Derek Shelton says the Jared Jones decision will be made over the next 24 hours.
I was hoping like that they like this is his last appearance. You know, we're in the last weekend of spring training games. I was hoping that we would hear something like almost not immediately after the game, but after the game, I was hoping they'd make a decision. So the fact that it's in the next 24, I mean, I feel like that tells me he's got to make it, but I think that's a good sign.
You know what's going to hit? You know what's going to hit like crack is that that video, whenever they post the video of Derek Shelton telling Jared Jones that he's made the bigs. I'm a sucker.
They love doing that.
Videos.
Yeah, they love doing that stuff.
I'm just a sucker for those videos. So we need one of that one.
Maybe that's what they're filming right now.
They could be filming. They could. They're filming it right now. They're gonna edit it and then they're gonna post it. Yep.
They're sending it to Cody to edit.
Yep. All right. Offensively, not a whole lot happened today. Brian Bayo was the Red Sox pitcher who, I mean, I haven't looked at the Red Sox rotation at all here, but I got to imagine if he's not their number one starter, he's their number two starter.
The Red Sox are going to be kind of bad again this year, huh?
Yeah, they don't look.
They're not that good.
Well, I'm looking at their position players and they're just not a whole lot there. Pitching wise, I don't think they're terrible, but yeah, Brian Bayo, roster resource on Fangraphs has them as the number one team. So number one starter.
Number one
so
pitcher,
he pitched really well today. He kind of mowed down the Pirates regulars. The Pirates lineup today was pretty much their starting lineup outside maybe Connor Joe. You know, you swap Joe and Reynolds and that's, you know, those are your starting nine. So Brian Bayo pitched really well. The Pirates didn't really get anything going until the eighth inning when the Red Sox brought in some relievers. Edward Olivares, who we've been kind of clamoring for him to do something this spring, he hits his first homer, opposite field, 3-run homer. That is what ended up pushing the Pirates ahead and winning this one. I do want to talk about, I guess if there's anybody to kind of get, to kind of highlight on the offense though, I think it's Connor Joe. I thought he played a really good game starting against the righty today. Mostly all of his at bats were against righties today. Singled in his first at bat, but then came through with the sacrifice fly in the what inning was it? The Pirates scored in the sixth, and that's what tied the game at one. So happy to see him. He looked good at the plate today. He's kind of had just a so-so spring, but I think he's clearly on this team. But he had I think out of everybody at the plate, he impressed me the most today. 1-for-2, and that sack fly was big.
Rowdy Tellez did not impress you with that bloop single he had.
Rowdy didn't impress me too much.
But I think you're right. There just wasn't much of the offense today. It was kind of a boring game from that aspect. Like if Jared Jones hadn't started this game, like if it was still Chase Anderson or whatever before that news hit, it would have kind of probably been really boring. But just not much from the offense. But like you said, Red Sox, the starter had it going and everything. So Joe's going to be on the team. He's going to be kind of the bouncing around all over. And like you mentioned, I think it was Starbucks or something last week the depth on this team, like everywhere you look, there's actually a major leaguer. Now we sent Peguero down. Alika Williams apparently is making the team. So I don't know, but the depth of this team, even from down from the starters to the bench, especially on the lineup, just looks, you know, it looks solid. It's definitely a step up from what we've seen, you know, in Ben Sherrington's career. So hopefully, yeah, I don't have like the lineup, you know, I wrote about it in our, as I'll drop this, our NS9 season preview coming out early yes. next week. Yeah. But I talked about that too, about how the lineup and just the power of the Pirates and how, what do they got? 48 home. Well, now I guess 49 home runs with Oliveras leading spring. And I think Greg Brown said it's like the most home runs in spring training since they started tracking it like in 74 yeah. or something, which yeah. is wild. So the Pirates in power, like home run totals, we've been on the third bottom half of the, you know, bottom third of the NL for, I think it was back to 2016. And if that could change, and I'm not saying they're going to lead the league this year in home runs, that would be nice. But even if they could just be average, above average, slightly above average, that'd be huge. So I think that, you know, the lineup, I'm not really worried about it. They've really put this team together and constructed it well with the lineup, but it's definitely the rotation that's at least a concern, at least until, I guess, we see Paul Skeens up here in Pittsburgh. But yeah, yeah, overall, no, go ahead.
Now, I was saying, I mean, Jones being in this rotation too helps out a little bit, because I think he was yeah. one of the guys we were planning on getting midseason, right? And I, like I said, I would be shocked if he doesn't make it at this point.
Right, right. So yeah, so the lot, like I said, I mean, yeah, today wasn't much fireworks on the offense, but they got the big hit, like you said, from Oliveras late in the game and got the win. But yeah, so, you know, as far, I wanted to talk about Cruz. Did you hear the note about what Jack Wilson said about his feet?
I did.
Yeah. I've never heard anybody bring that up before. And that's what I was saying about, yeah, that's what I was saying about, you know, Greg Brown and Caps were even like, we've never heard anybody bring that up. Like, what do you think about Cruz? And Jack Wilson's like, his feet. But yeah, like basically, you know, we heard it all through the minors, like 6'7" shortstop. Like, it's just not going to happen. It's just never not. It just isn't done. And he just kept doing it. And now we're seeing it. And he's been well, you know, he turned the double play, which was a nice play early in the game. And we're seeing it. And then Jack Wilson comes on here and says, hey, he, you know, his feet's only like 12, 13 shoe or whatever. And he's like, and that's what makes it work, because shortstop is all about footwork and everything. So I just we never heard that like brought up before or even thought of. And it's like, oh, well, like it makes sense. I mean, it makes sense to like why he can do it, I guess. But I thought that was interesting note, just because we'd never heard that before.
Yeah, like Cam brings up here, he's got Kenny Pickett hand feet.
Yeah, right. So yeah, hopefully yeah. not one where he ends up in Philadelphia in 3 years.
No, definitely, please no. All right, well, hey, that's I think that's all I got for today's game. Unless you got anything else to add.
No, get off Rowdy's back. Let's see what he does in the season. All right, I'm gonna at least give him a month or two. I want to see that power.
I'm willing to give him a little bit of time. I think the thing with Rowdy right now, it's not even the offense that's frustrating me, because I think he'll figure it out. Like he is who he is offensively, I think.
Right.
It's just the defense. Like the dude hasn't made a single play at first base.
Yeah.
All spring.
That's a problem. That's
like,
a problem.
If the ball is thrown to his chest, he's gonna catch it. But if it's anything else, it's not gonna happen. Like
right.
The worst possible thing is gonna happen unless you throw it right to his chest. So that's just kind
he's
of
a big, I mean, he's a big target over there. Yeah, that chest is true. Big, so
that's true.
that's one thing that helps. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, I am the Rowdy apologist. I mean, at this point, I guess I'm intrigued by the power. As I talked about the power that the Pirates never had, I'm intrigued by the home runs. Mm-hmm. We'll give them a shot here. Obviously, they're going to give them a shot, because, like you said, there's nobody else really. I mean, unless you're going to pick up, like you, what'd you mention, Brandon Belt. Today on Twitter,
Brandon Belt, free agent still. Like, I
there you go,
go out and get that guy. But no, I'm okay with at least giving him a little bit of time before I get on him too much.
I appreciate that.
All right, I thank you. I'm glad you do. All right. Well, tomorrow we've got another post game show. It'll be our last post game show, powered by Primanti's. Last post game show of the spring, and then, you know, it's the real deal. So, be sure to tune into that tomorrow. I think tomorrow is Cody and Doug, I want to say. Cody and Neil, maybe. Sure. But it's Cody and somebody. Cody will get his first post-game show work in this this season. Martin Perez on the mound tomorrow for the Pirates against the Yankees. Marcus Stroman on the mound for New York. In case you missed it on NS9 Live, NS9 memberships are here. So if you choose that you want to support us further than just watching us, obviously everything we do is still free. But if you want some extra stuff, like if you see these guys in the comments with badges and some perks, click on the join button below. That'll be greatly appreciated. But other than that, like and subscribe. We'll come at you tomorrow with another post game show, and then we're right around the corner. Season's about to start.
And as I alluded to earlier, we're doing a NS9 season preview, our first that we've ever done. It's basically going to be a downloadable PDF. Check Jim Northshore Nine's account on Twitter Monday, Tuesday. We'll kind of announce more details. But basically, free downloadable preview that we put together for this season. So looking forward to releasing that and getting that out there to everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So good stuff, guys. Well, that's all I got. This has been the NS9 postgame show powered by Primanti's. Ryan, thanks for hanging for a little bit today. It's good to have you back.
I'm back.
Good to have you back. I know.
Good to be here.
Good to see you more this season. But that's all we got. We'll see you tomorrow. See you guys.
Peace.
Hey, you all, thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.